O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
I like the way you do that here. I've been in places where you say, Hallelujah, Christ is risen. They say, risen indeed, whatever. So I like a little enthusiasm as we go through here. I have to tell you that occasionally when I'm celebrating Easter, I think about my grandmother Benton. My grandmother Robinson, my father's mother, was a great cook, but my grandmother Benton should have never tried it. She was awful. And besides, she didn't like to cook. And so there was an occasion, I think once or twice when I was a kid, that we went down to her house to have a dinner. And on those ominous days, we were praying that she would make cornbread because she could not make biscuits. She couldn't get it through her head that you either had to use self-rising flour or baking powder to put into the biscuits or they didn't rise. She could not understand that. And the only two times I know she tried was one time earlier, and then this particular time I'm thinking of, we went to her house, and sure enough, she had biscuits. And she opened the door of the stove and pulled out what looked like a tray of toasty hot hockey pucks. And my Uncle Stetton, who was there at the time, made a joke. He said that if you drop one of those on the floor, it's going to wake the dead. And so we called them resurrection biscuits. Now, I know I shouldn't talk about my grandmother's cooking, but down south, we have a thing that we say that you can say anything about anybody as long as you say,
bless
her heart. Yeah, that's right. And so this Easter, I think about my grandmother, bless her heart, and those sad... And those sad little resurrection biscuits, they were awful. Without baking powder, without the key ingredient, those biscuits were heavy and flat and about that thick. And so too is life without the resurrection of Christ. Life can get heavy and flat. We tend to think of the Easter message as a message for the end of life, but in fact, it's a message for us right now. Because death can come long before the end of life. We know people that are walking around physically, but are spiritually dead. Life has beat them down. It's like the story of a little boy with his head in his hand, staring down at his school book, saying, I wish my arithmetic was done and that it was married and dead. He had hit the bottom. You know, it's so easy to celebrate this glorious resurrection when we have music like the choir here and Dr. John and Lisa furnishing us with music, and we have a hallelujah, Christ is risen. And it's easy to get caught up in the excitement and the celebration of the resurrection. But what about tomorrow morning when the alarm goes off at 6 o'clock and you wake up with your spirit sunk and you wonder where the resurrection is when we work day and night in a thankless job and keep getting deeper in debt? Where's the resurrection when your child gets caught up in ugly drugs or alcohol and you watch them just drift away? And where's the resurrection after you work 40 years at a job and then suddenly discover that you are going to lose your home? And where's the resurrection when you wake up one morning and realize that nothing matters to you anymore? And where's the resurrection when at the end of life our family and friends are gone and we are left alone to negotiate a world that doesn't honor the elderly anymore? Where is the resurrection then? It's not just resurrection after death that we're talking about. It's resurrection during our lifetime. Like biscuits without baking powder, life can, without resurrection, get heavy and flat and weigh us down. And we need to remember that missing ingredient in our own lives that needs to come. Our Easter story is from John's Gospel, a familiar one, and Mary goes to the tomb while it's still dark. And they've rolled the stone away. And the body is gone. And someone says to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said, "They've taken my Lord away. What have they done with them?" And just then she turned around and saw a figure standing there, but she didn't recognize him. And the figure, who she thought was a gardener, said, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said, "They've taken my Lord. If you've taken him, let me know where you've taken him, and I'll get him." Jesus said one word to her, "Mary." And with that word, she recognized who he was. She called him Rabboni, Master. And at that instant, she realized that right in front of her was the life force that could come into her and make all the difference in her life. We have the same thing, beloved. We have Christ right here in the midst of us. We have the life force in our midst, and that's the missing ingredient that we need to reclaim on this Easter morning. We all have that spark inside of us that's ready to bloom and to. A friend of mine went to Death Valley one time on a vacation. Now, I know it's strange to go to Death Valley, but Tom was strange. Tom's a priest up in New England right now. And he had heard that earlier in the year, Death Valley had gotten an inordinate amount of rain, more than usual. And the otherwise bleak sand dunes and rocks of the desert were covered with tiny wildflowers, and he wanted to see it. And so he went. For years, these little seeds had been dormant in the desert, waiting for something refreshing to bring them to life, waiting for the missing ingredient. And when it came, they bloomed and grew in the desert. And like these little dormant seeds, there's still life in us all, waiting to bloom and to grow. And we need to find that missing ingredient. And the ingredient is found in the good news that Jesus Christ brought to us about God's love and about God's grace. That's right in front of us this morning. We just need to add it to the mixture of our lives. Several years ago in Gainesville, I was at my first church, and I was going to do my first Easter sermon, and I was walking around the grounds on Saturday, trying to walk off some nerves, and toward the end of my walk, I met one of our parishioners. She was doing some work out in the garden, and she said, "Are you ready for the big service?" And I said, "Well, I don't know. I'm kind of nervous." And she said, "Well," she looked at me with a surprised expression, and she said, "Oh, you'll be fine. You just get out of the way and let God take care of it." And I've never forgotten those words, and goodness gracious, I need to remind myself daily about that, because I tend to forget. It's good words, great advice for a sermon, even greater advice for life. Just get out of the way and let God do God's work in your life. And I have all kind of blocks. I can put up anger, negativity, fear, doubt, things that shut us down and weigh us down, and things that keep that key ingredient from coming into our life that helps us bloom and grow and live the abundant life that Christ was talking about. I think that deep down in all of us, there's that yearning for joy, yearning to soar, yearning to bloom. It reminds me of the movie Mary Poppins, a movie two of our children made me watch over and over when they were little, bless their hearts. I'll never forget that scene when Uncle Albert is in this sterile bank vault. And he starts laughing with joy, and as he laughs, he floats up. He soars into this bank vault, and the people around him begin to laugh and begin to soar with joy and lightness. And this scene sends to me this deep truth that we all want to do that. We all want to have a spirit that is soaring and light and abundant that Jesus promised. And then life gets in the way and the key ingredients go missing, and over time our spirits sink and become flat and heavy, like my grandmother's biscuits. For everyone who feels their dreams have been destroyed and their hopes dashed and their spirits crushed, that's the good news of Easter morning, that the risen Christ can take our flat, heavy hearts and put the key ingredient into them so that our spirits are not stuck in the ground and they're not dictated by human pain or loss or disappointment. They're not stuck in a tomb. Easter brings each of us a second chance. Because you see, that life force is right here among us, moving among us. There's a song I like to sing. Choir knows it. And if you know it, join me. He is here, he is here, he is moving among us. He is here, he is here, as we gather in his name. He is here, he is here, and he wants to work a wonder. He is here as we gather in his name. A chance to see the life force that is right here among us. It gives us a second chance to recognize the risen Christ right in front of us as he appeared to Mary. A chance to start all over again with renewed hope. Let us pray. Gracious and loving Father, we thank you for bringing us to another glorious Easter morning. We arrive here from many varied places. Some of us from places of rejoicing. Many of us from places of hopelessness. Whatever our station this morning, Lord, give us the power to reclaim that missing ingredient in our lives, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that we may live the abundant life. Amen.